Greetings and salutations. Welcome to Park Street. We're grateful that you're here on this very last Sunday of 2020. I normally use the very last Sunday of the year as a kind of State of the Union sermon. I kind of update folks on where we've been, and I like to do a lot of vision casting for what we think God is planning in the upcoming year. But because 2020 has been so strange, I thought, let's mess with that. And let's, instead of looking forward, which everybody wants to do, let's look back on 2020, shall we? The year that everyone can't wait for to be over. Let's take some time and look back. When I was 8 years old, the movie Jurassic Park came out. Is that the perfect age for Jurassic Park? Do you wish you were born in 1985 so you could have been 8 years old when Jurassic Park, that was like perfection. Steven Spielberg directed, the score, gorgeous, composed by John Williams, you know. You know that one? Really good one. Dinosaurs are engineered from leftover DNA found in like a mosquito that they had in amber. And they open a theme park, and then things start taking a turn for the worse. One of my favorite scenes from the movie is the most harrowing scene. Jeff Goldblum is injured at some point because these dinosaurs have gotten loose from their pens, and he's loaded up in the back of a Jeep, and they hear the footprints of the T-Rex coming. Remember this? And so they jump in the Jeep, and they take off, and the T-Rex is chasing them. And if you are like me and you're 8 years old and you watch this movie 100 times, you've memorized the line, must go faster, must go faster. I have a little video clip here of the T-Rex just, is it in there? Just click it and see what happens. Yeah, it's just a GIF. Of looking in the side view mirror as the T-Rex is getting closer and closer and closer. Is that awesome? I love that. Maybe this is what looking back on 2020 sounds like to you. Like, why would you look back onto this year? Why not we look ahead? I think it's important for us to look back, but not as a greatest hits playlist of all the challenges and hardships we had in 2020, because those were plenty, and that would be a worthwhile exercise probably. But instead, I'd love for us to look back on how God has been faithful. Hindsight is 2020. So let's review how good God has been and the lessons we've learned about his grace this year. We're going to be in Psalm 90. I have loved this psalm, and I've loved spending time with it this week. I really encourage you to spend some additional time as we get ready for 2021. Spend some time in Psalm 90. It is so rich this week. Let's turn to the Word of God. Psalm 90, we're going to be in the whole thing, verses 1 through 17. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They're like a dream. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it's dry and withered. We're consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad for all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Psalm 90 is the only psalm in the Psalter that is attributed to Moses. And in my mind's eye, I can see him at 120 years old, ambling up Mount Nebo, the place where the Lord would call him home. Some biblical scholars think that this psalm was written as they spent their years wandering in the wilderness. But I like to think that it was written at the end of Moses' life as he was reflecting back on all that he's done. I have no evidence to support this claim. I just like it better. And in 2020, that's enough to say your own opinion. Here's what the scene would look like on top of Mount Nebo. Moses looks out and it's hard to see in the picture, but in the forefront, you can see the Jordan River snaking along. And on the other side of it is Jericho. And you can actually see right into the heart of the promised land from here. And Moses, at the end of his life, after he has recounted all of the Lord's commands and he has sang all of his songs and he has doled out all of his blessings, he looks out over this promised land that he will not enter. And there's so much momentum and energy pulling the nation of Israel forward into their destiny, into this land that God has promised them. And as he overlooks the fulfillment of everything that he has worked and he worked really hard for it. Instead of looking forward and plowing ahead into the new, Moses takes a moment to pause and look back. And when he does this, he compares the Lord, who he has walked with, who he has seen face to face, who he has grown to know and trust, and humanity that he has tried to lead, tried to encourage, tried to serve. And the differences between God and us couldn't be more stark than Moses paints for us in Psalm 90. The Lord, he argues, is our dwelling place in all generations. He's the creator since before the mountains were born. He was God from everlasting to everlasting. And he's someone for whom 1,000 years are like just a day yesterday, or like a watch in the night. Compare that to the language he uses to describe the human condition. Humans, on the other hand, are turned back to dust at a word from God. They are like a dream in the night. They're like flat, like grass that perks up because of the morning dew, but by the evening they are withered and dry. They have a lifespan that is 70 years or maybe 80 if the strength endures. He, after this comparing and contrasting of God's strength, his power, his eternality, and humans' frailty and sinfulness and brokenness and sorrow. Moses makes these really important observations in verses 1 through 11. Reflecting on his life in which God moved in incredible and miraculous ways. And I do realize that I misspelled the word verses, but it's fine. Moses observes, our difficult and sorrowful lives are incredibly brief. But God's eternal power and unflinching justice should create reverence and holy fear in us. And after our weary lives are over, we will appear before God to face his judgment. I have been thinking about all the things that Moses saw firsthand, from his infancy into being saved from certain death by being put in a basket in the Nile, to growing up in Pharaoh's household, to fleeing to watch the sheep of his father-in-law for murdering someone, to being called back to Egypt to set the people of God free from bondage, these incredible confrontations with Pharaoh and God delivering plagues, God rescuing Israel out of bondage, leading them through the Red Sea, leading them through a wilderness with a flame by night and a pillar of smoke by day, providing manna, Moses going up onto Mount Sinai, experiencing God's presence, receiving his commands, coming down to see the people of Israel worshiping an idol. All the things that he saw and experienced. And at the end, as he looks over this promised land that he will never enter, he reflects on how hard it is and how brief our lives can be, how powerful and mighty God is, and how eventually we all get called up to meet with him when this weary life comes to an end. And those 12 verses, those observations of the strength of God and the frailty of humankind, leads him to pray these 7 prayers, these 7 petitions at the end of Psalm 90. I love these prayers. The first prayer, God, teach us. Teach us your ways. Teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Have compassion on us is the second petition. Relent, please. We're wayward. We need your grace. The third thing, satisfy us with your love in a way that would cause us to overflow with songs of joy. I love this fourth prayer. Make us as glad for as many days as we've suffered, that we would have the equal amount of joy on the other side. And then these 3 powerful prayers of blessing. May God's deeds and splendor be upon us. May God's beauty and favor rest upon us. And may God establish the work of our hands. If you have had a hard 2020, welcome to the club. And if you don't know what to pray for the following year, what will 2021 bring? I think this is a really good list of things we could be praying. God, teach us to number our days. God, please have compassion with us. God, please satisfy us with your love. God, make us glad for as many days as we've been troubled. And may your deeds and splendor and beauty and favor rest on us, and may you establish the work that we're doing together. Those are good prayers, church. Good prayers for the people of God to be praying in this season. In the same vein, I thought it would be fun to look back on 2020 and think of 7 things we have learned seven places where we maybe have grown in wisdom, experienced the best teacher as we have endured the weirdness and frustration and hardship and all of the troubles that this year has granted. What did we learn in 2020? I think the first thing we learned is we're more fragile than we like to believe. Right? A couple weeks ago, I had to go into a COVID unit of a local nursing home to deliver news to one of our dear friends and church members, Bob Jenkins, that his wife Marge had passed away. And I had to get all geared up with the PPE, and I was in a gown, and I was in a mask, and a hairnet, and booties on my feet. And I thought, if this wasn't such a dire situation, I would take a picture of this because I look ridiculous, but I know this is what healthcare workers have to do every day. And I had to go in and write on a whiteboard because Bob at that point was unable to hear. I had to let him know that his wife of 55 years had passed away. And Bob himself, just a few days later on Christmas Day, actually went home to be with the Lord. Life is fragile. This little microscopic virus has upended the world, thrown economies into spirals, changed our day-to-day life. We're way more fragile. One of the things that technology affords us is the illusion that we are in control of things. But all it takes is one little glitch in the system for everything to get thrown out of whack. We are way more fragile than we like to believe. We're like grass that withers. We're like a watch in the night. What else did we learn? Scared people don't behave rationally. Do you remember at the beginning of this when toilet paper was selling on the stock market for more than hard gold was? You remember that? What possessed everyone to go crazy on the butt tissue? I have no idea. And there's no rational explanation. There's many times in life where just fear grips us, and we do things that don't make sense. Sometimes I eat so fast that I block my airway. That's sometimes concerning. The last time I did it was a year ago, and I was in the kitchen, and I had swallowed a piece of bread, but it only made it far enough down to block my airway. And I tried to cough it out, and it wasn't budging, and my brain did a panic thing. And for a half a second, I contemplated jumping as high as I could and just laying flat on my back and letting my back slam on the floor of my kitchen to try to like Heimlich it out of me. Instead, I resisted that urge, though it was a strong impulse, and just tried to chug some water. I ended up choking, but obviously I didn't die. Spoiler alert, I didn't die. And I remember thinking, that would have been the dumbest thing ever to just jump and then land on my back. But in that half a second, it felt like the wisest course of action, right? Scared people don't always behave rationally. We have seen that. We have been seeing that. We need grace. We need compassion. I say all the time as a pastor, you may have heard me say this before, that fear often wears the mask of anger. We have felt like a lot of people have been very angry in 2020. And I just want to tell you as a pastor, they were, but what they really are underneath the anger is scared. Which is why we just celebrated the birth of Christ, because with it comes the proclamation that we ought not fear, because light has come into the world and darkness has not overcome it. Scared people don't behave rationally. What else did we learn? Ignorance and arrogance are commonplace.
everybody had an opinion about everything all the time.
And we have wonderful platforms to showcase them. Weeds grow quickly enough without fertilizer. You know, they sprout up quickly. They take over quickly. And one of the things that we experienced in 2020 was social media is like Miracle Grow for uninformed opinions. It's just like, wow. But they wither in the light of the day. A lot of the prognostications that happened throughout this year have not held up over time. It would be probably in our interest to ask the Lord to humble us. In a world where ignorance and arrogance are so commonplace, I just long for a church that is humble and wise. And that's the prayer. Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. That's those two things together. Humble us so that we can be wise. Because ignorance and arrogance are not rare in these days. Here's what else we learned in 2020. Being together is really important, isn't it? When I was spending time with Bob Jenkins a couple weeks ago in the hospital, he said, "The thing I missed most is church on Sunday mornings." If you have been here at all in the last several years, he's the guy that first greeted you when you tried to walk into the place. Always with a smile, always happy to see you. He was so joyful and kind. And as I was spending time with him near the end, he said, "I just miss people saying hello, hearing what's going on." How many of us have been separated from people we want to be close to this year? Being together is so important. Here's something else we learned in 2020. Justice only exists if God does. There is nothing but clamoring right now about justice. But apart from God, we can't even agree which direction is up and down. Justice for who? Who's so objective that they can decide what is just and what is not? You ask 10 people what is fair, and they will give you 15 different answers. And so much of this year has been speaking past one another and not listening to one another and insisting for justice for us instead of justice for all. And as I continue to watch us spin into this weird postmodern oblivion in which nobody can agree on anything and the common ground is eroding underneath us, I keep thinking, if God is not here, if God is not real, then all of this is pretend. There's no justice without the Lord. It's anthropological preferences that we've developed in a culture that's neither good nor bad. It just is. But that's not very satisfying for us, is it? We long for things to be put to right. And we continue to see displays of the powerful manipulating systems to their benefit, not being held accountable despite the fact that they are obviously in the wrong. But there's God. He takes all of our secret sins and he brings them into the light. We don't live in a world that is without justice, no. We inhabit a creation that proclaims God is just. What else did we learn in 2020? Hardship reveals our priorities, doesn't it? Last Sunday, my mother had an episode we thought was a stroke. We're so grateful to say it wasn't, but she was not in her right mind. She ended up being taken to the ER. They ended up transferring her to a hospital in Columbus where she was in the ICU. She was in a neurocritical unit for several days. On Christmas Day, my brother went and picked her up from the hospital. He spent the night with her. She spent the night with him. And then yesterday, my mom came up and she had Christmas with our kids. And she's still recovering. And so we definitely appreciate you continue to pray for us. So they show up and we're obviously just thrilled out of our minds to see my mom. And she has these presents. And she goes, I forgot to put who these presents are for, so I don't know who they're for, and I actually don't even know what they are. So let's open them and find out together, shall we? And then at one point, she started feeling bad. She started saying, oh, it seems like maybe I forgot a present for Monty, or, you know, I didn't do it evenly. And I said, Mom, you are the present. You here is the present. Like, I don't care about the Paw Patrol Tower. Like, the kids are excited, but ultimately, right? There's been a realignment of priorities, I hope for you. I know for me, as the difficulties of this year has exposed what's really important. Here's the last thing we learned in 2020. Jesus is enough. We were all in our own homes on Easter Sunday. There was no... That sounded like kind of like a Star Wars Ewokie noise, which you know they celebrate Christmas ferociously. Christmas, different, small, traditions changed. Jesus has been enough. He's been sufficient in the midst of everything. As we've learned all these lessons in 2020, I continue to come back to Psalm 90 and say, as we look back and prepare for whatever is next, God, teach us to number our days so we might gain a heart of wisdom. Have compassion on us. Please relent. Satisfy us with your love so that we would be overflowing with songs of joy. Make us glad for as many days as we've seen trouble. May your deeds and splendor shine on us. May your beauty and favor rest on us. May you establish the work of our hands as we live and love for you. I keep thinking about how sad it seemed that Moses wasn't able to enter the promised land. Doesn't that always like bum you out? Like he worked so hard and then he could see it, he could almost touch it, but he doesn't get to walk in. Can you put that image back up of Mount Nebo, please, Sadie? Thank you. It's so pretty. And as I was praying about this, I thought, well, at least that was a beautiful sight, his last sight on earth, you know? And the Lord reminded me, oh, that wasn't the last thing he saw on earth. And I was like, "Is what? He said, right. And like Moses appeared later on a different mountain, if you remember. When Jesus was transfigured, Moses is there. And I can't help but to realize that Jesus is the fulfillment of every prayer that Moses prayed as he looks out over the promised land. Jesus comes and he has compassion on us. He teaches us wisdom. He satisfies us with his love. He makes us glad. His deeds, his splendor, his beauty, his favor rests upon his people. And he comes alongside the church. And he says, even the gates of hell will not overcome the work you do in my name. As we look back and we reflect and as we look forward in anticipation of what God is going to do, We celebrate that Jesus is the answer to every longing of our heart. I don't know what 2021 will bring, right? I've learned some humility from last year when I had the whole year mapped out, right? But I know that Jesus will be in it. And whether we look through the front about what's coming up or we look through the rear view about what we've left behind, Jesus will be there, filling our vision and providing that his grace is enough. Let's pray together this morning. In this season, we celebrate your coming. In this season, we celebrate that you fulfill every longing of our weary hearts. In this season, we don't shy away from looking back at the painful lessons we've learned, but we also don't let our hurts define our future. Because Jesus has come and he walks before us and he hems us in from behind and he prevents us from going to the right or the left and walking away from the path he's laid out for us. And he leads us into his beautiful, glorious future. So we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the hard-won truths that this year has reminded us of. Thank you that you have been more than enough for every single thing that we faced. And God, we pray that we would go forward into this new year with a confidence, not that our circumstances are going to get better tomorrow or that some magic wand will be waved over our lives and take away all the frustration and pain, but rather that we would have such a great confidence that no matter where we go, you will already be there waiting for us. Pray this in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen.
We can't forget that this thing we're experiencing is the good news. No matter what the news is, this is good news, and not only do we get to enjoy it, but we are called to share it.
Now let's all hum the tune of Jurassic Park together as a benediction.
I feel like that's so tempting.
Maybe just play it softly as I give benediction. Here, receive this benediction as we prepare to go into the next year. May God teach you to number your days, that you would learn a heart of wisdom. May God relent and show you his great compassion. May God make you happy and full of joy. May his love satisfy you to your overflowing. And may you have gladness for as many days as you had troubles. May God shine his splendor over you and your family. May his beauty and his favor rest upon you. And whatever you put your will towards in 2021 to serve the Lord and proclaim his goodness, may God establish that work and may it last as a legacy of his faithfulness and justice for all time. We bless you with this in Jesus' strong name. And God's people said, amen. We love you so much. We're so grateful for you. We're really looking forward to seeing you in the new year. I think things are going to be great. But if not, I'll still be here, maybe. Anyways, go in peace and we'll see you soon.